So when we talk about input, we're talking about language that surrounds us or that we process as language learners for its meaning. Okay. Another thing we know from the research is that there are no cases of successful learners who have not learned or reached high levels of language ability, excuse me, proficiency, without copious amounts of input. And at the same time, one thing we know for sure from the research is that those who get little or no exposure to input are the ones who tend to be failures at language acquisition. And this has been something that we've known for a while now. So the starting point for any context of language acquisition is that there's got to be input. Now, notice here that I put that input may be restricted or inaccessible. This is important, and this has a lot to do with some of the things we do in bilingual ed and TESOL, or at least with immigrant speakers. Just because a language learner is in a community in which the language is spoken does not mean that language is accessible. This has been proven, for example, in research in the United States as well as in Europe. The best research I've seen of this is actually in Germany. Very often, adult immigrants will come to a country, and their interaction and their access to language is limited because of social circumstances, political circumstances, and just because they have to work 20 hours a day to make a living. Unlike their children, who might have much more exposure to input and usually are the ones who wind up being English dominant, giving up their heritage language by the time they're 10 or 12 years old. So we want to make sure that we understand that just because somebody's surrounded by language doesn't mean they're getting the language. It could be that they're really not being exposed. And in fact, I was just reading in the plane some research on heritage language programs, not heritage language programs, bilingual transition programs, and this whole brouhaha about the fact that people aren't learning English in California, right? And they were actually doing studies on the amount of exposure to the heritage language children were getting, these children who presumably weren't learning English. And they found out that in these bilingual programs, or when the kids hit school in kindergarten or first grade, they're getting 10, 12 hours of exposure to English a day, and something like 3 to 4 hours of exposure in this particular study was Spanish. They're getting over twice as much exposure to English as they are to Spanish. And guess what happens to them? By the time they get to the sixth grade, they're completely English dominant, English literate, and they have very few skills in Spanish. And very often when the grandparents come from Mexico, they can't communicate with their grandparents in Spanish. So this idea of having exposure to language, it might not be what it looks like from the outside. So we always have to look at that carefully. Okay, more about input. My own research with my colleagues, we've shown that if you structure input in certain ways and give it to learners, you can alter their competence. You can change the mental representation they have of language. They don't have to practice anything, but you have to structure the input in important ways for that to happen. And of course, vocabulary acquisition. How do you learn all your vocabulary? How many words does a native speaker of a language have? Anybody know? I mean, a literate native speaker who said that, what? Yeah, it's upwards, it's close to 100,000, between 80 and 100,000 words. At least, let's look at English. Now, how do you get all those words? You certainly didn't study them and look at vocabulary lists. Any second language learner who's going to become a literate speaker of English, for example, is going to wind up with between 60 and 80,000 words as well. How does a person get those words? There's only one way to get those words, and that is through interaction with the language, normally through reading. So reading becomes an important source of input for vocabulary growth. Okay? So we know that that language acquisition is not going to happen, or language vocabulary acquisition is not going to happen without exposure to massive amounts of textual input. Now, everything we've said about input for second language acquisition is true of first language acquisition. Children do not get a first language without exposure to input. They do not develop their vocabularies without reading and massive exposure to the language, and so on. Okay, that's kind of like everybody knows that, right? Our grammars are all